The story of Thomas Alva Edison begins in a place and time that seem lifted from a 19th century novel in the small town of Milan, Ohio, where on February 11, 1847, the seventh and last son of the marriage of Samuel Ogden Edison and Nancy Matthews Elliott came into the world. That child, who would go on to become the most prolific inventor of the modern era, arrived in a family marked by displacement and survival, traits that would undoubtedly shape his character. His roots ran deep into the sifting ground of American history, a story of divided loyalties and forced flights. Edison's paternal grandparents, originally from Amsterdam, had settled in New Jersey in the 1730s, but it was his grandfather, John Edison, who sowed the seed of family nomadism by siding with the British during the War of Independence, which forced him to take refuge in Nova Scotia after the conflict. Later, the family crossed into Canada and settled near Lake Erie, where Samuel, Thomas's father, grew up and started his own family. Yet history would repeat itself. In 1837, Samuel Edison joined the Canadian Rebellion against the English, an uprising that ended in failure and forced him to make a hasty escape south, crossing the border into the United States in search of safety and a fresh start. And so, around 1840, Samuel set up a small lumber business in Milan, Ohio, a town that at the time promised prosperity thanks to river traffic, though it would soon be sidelined by the relentless advance of the railroad. Nancy Matthews Elliott, Thomas's mother, was a woman of Scottish descent, born in Canada, who brought to that household a completely different dimension from that of her husband, the rebellious and adventurous character. Before marrying, Nancy had worked as a teacher, a vocation she carried in her soul and one that would prove decisive for the fate of her youngest son. When the family settled in Milan, Nancy had already given birth to four children, and later would have three more. Life on the American frontier was unforgiving, and death visited humble homes all too often. Three of the older children died in the 1840s, leaving a trail of sorrow for the Edison couple. So, when Thomas Alva was born, his surviving siblings, Tanny, William, and Carol, were 14, 16, and 18 years old respectively, an age gap that turned the little one into a pampered baby and, in a way, an only child for parents who had already suffered too many losses. They named him Thomas in honor of a family ancestor, and the second name, Alva, in memory of Captain Alva Bradley, a family friend whom Samuel deeply admired. Thomas's early years in Milan passed in relative tranquility, but the shadow of progress, paradoxically, brought an end to the town's prosperity. The railroad, the very same invention that decades later he would help enhance with his electrical innovations, decided to bypass Milan in its route, and commercial activity faded like a candle starved of oxygen. The economic crisis hit the Edison family hard, and Samuel, once again, had to make the difficult decision to emigrate. In 1854, when Thomas was 7 years old, the Edisons packed up their few belongings and moved to Port Huron, Michigan, a town on the shores of Lake Huron, hoping to find a more promising future there. It was in this new setting, in a house with a large basement overlooking the St. Clair River, that the life of little Thomas would take a decisive turn. The year after their arrival, his parents decided it was time for the boy to attend school, and they enrolled him in a small local school. Nothing suggested that this experience, so common in any child's life, would become the founding episode of his legend, the moment when his mother's figure would emerge with the overwhelming force of a heroine. Thomas Alva Edison attended school for barely 3 months, possibly the most bitter months of his childhood. He was a peculiar child, with an inquisitive gaze and permanent curiosity, but he also suffered from partial deafness from a young age, a probable aftereffect of a poorly treated scarlet fever infection, which made him seem distracted or absent in class. In an era when pedagogy was based on rote repetition and iron discipline, a student who didn't answer questions or seemed not to pay attention was quickly labeled as troubled or slow.